Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here on a Thursday morning, January 25th, 2024, 12 minutes past the hour. Joined in studio this morning by 3rd Ward City Councilman Jason Schauber, talking about Monday night City Council meeting and a lot of other things going on. Jason, let's get to this Director of Special Projects, because this was a position that Mayor Collins wanted to create. Something I even believe he did campaign on. Mm-hmm. This was the person was picked out, Mr. Bodine, who was going to fill this position. On the 8th, there was still a need to fill this position. I think Mayor Collins at that point had said this was necessary. We need this position. It goes to its second reading on Monday, last Monday, and Mayor Collins stands up at that point and says, vote no on this. I don't need it. Mr. Bodine is the, I believe, service director is what he said. He can do all this from that position. And that's that. What was that all about?
I'm not 100% sure, but I do believe a lot of it centers around the job description of the special projects manager and the I don't want to call it a side job because it's a pretty significant business that Mr. Bodine has. He does stuff for Can Do. So I believe Collins' thinking was if he keeps him as the service director, that conflict goes away.
And at one point, Monday, I do think he said, even though I consulted the law director, even though I've consulted the ethics commission, and they said it's perfectly fine for him to have this position, I just don't need it anymore at this time.
I spoke with Collins prior to January, and he talked about these two positions he wanted to create. And he also wanted to leave because he was originally planning on creating those two positions and combining the safety and service directors together again, like it was back in Kellogg's. But he wanted to leave them separate until we got into the new year. So I think he was just leaving those as options. And he chose that service director, keeping it as it is, safety and a service director, and not having the special projects was a better option for how he wanted to run his administration.
So basically, and I don't want to put words in anybody's mouth here, it sounds like he just circumnavigated council there.
No, I don't think that at all.
So the layout of this, council is going to create this position. It looked like it was going to pass because of the way people were voting. Mm-hmm. This position is going to become available. Mm-hmm. Mr. Bodine is the guy who's going to do it. Mm-hmm. Because this whole Can-Do issue kept coming up about him being paid by Can-Do and also being paid by the city for this position. And then all of a sudden, Mayor Collins says, we don't need the position, and Mr. Bodine becomes the service director?
Yeah, and I don't think that's a circumventing council. I believe that's just his, and again, I don't know for sure, but I think maybe that's his logic to fixing what appears to be an ethics issue. By not giving a position, a title, and job responsibilities that reflect Bodine's business. So now, is that conflict still there no matter what job he has? That's a discussion that probably should be had. And if Mayor Collins has written opinion from the Ethics Commission that says it's okay, then there's okay.
I think he said he had an email.
Right. So is that a written, does that work? Is that good enough to be a written opinion from the Ethics Commission? I don't know. I haven't seen it. I'm sure he would give it if he was asked. I believe he was asked in the meeting to send that.
But have you seen it yet?
No, I haven't.
And that was Monday.
Correct.
Okay.
I believe Ayers Ratliff asked in that meeting. I think he did. Maybe he just sent it to Mr. Ratliff. I don't know.
All that being said, so if the special projects position had went along and he had not decided to back off of this, would there have been a service director?
No. So that was the conversation I had with Collins in December, was if council can get those two positions created, he would no longer need the service director, and he would combine it and make those responsibilities under one individual's responsibilities.
But this is not a circumnavigation of council. It's more to be ethical.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. So now Mr. Bodine would be in an appointed position instead of a position that was created.
Right. And that created position of special projects, that would have been an appointed position.
Okay. So, but had to go through council, but he probably had council, the votes to do it anyway.
Council has to approve any new jobs, any new positions, job descriptions, and salaries.
But doesn't have to create the service position.
No, because it's already there. It already exists. Yes.
Now,
Schuster separated that back in 2006 or 2007, whenever he came in.
But Collins had said he was going to combine this.
Yes, if he got the special projects.
So what essentially is the difference between the special projects person, director of special projects, and the service director at this point?
I don't know. So I do know what the service director is, and I believe Collins will add the responsibility of special projects, whatever he wants to put under that service director umbrella of the job description. And technically, if he's going to add something like that, that needs to come before council so we can change that job description and include those responsibilities that he wants to have.
So why not do this just to start with? Just to make Mr. Bodine the service director and try to change the job description of that job to add special projects instead of going through all this.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, he had a vision of how he wanted to set up his administration. It hit some snags, so you have to adjust. So this is his adjustment.
Well, here's another snag. On Tuesday, I spoke with Mr. Pollack about this, who is apparently in voting in the majority at this point. And he said, well, Mayor Collins might say he doesn't want this position now, but it is going to go to a third reading next week. And I'm not sure that it's going to get voted down.
I don't know what he's basing that on. I mean, I will not vote in favor of that for two reasons. One, Mayor Collins asked us not to approve it. And the other one, we still have that conflict or that ethics issue, that if that's not cleared up, that ethics issue, it still, I believe, carries over to the service director.
So where does that go at this point? Do those questions need to be asked at this point?
Yeah, and if Mayor Collins has that email and forwards it to us and it's clearly says there's no issue, then I can't take an issue with it because ethics says it's ethical. So who am I to fight? But it all goes back to Collins asking us not to create that position. So the reason I believe it's going to the third reading, because I asked Collins procedurally how he would want us to deal with that, because if we vote it down, if he ever changes his mind within this two-year term, he can't bring it back up because we've already voted it down. So I asked him if he would rather us table it so that any time within this two-year session of council, we can bring it off the table and discuss it again. He didn't have an opinion either way, and so we just called it a second reading, and we'll deal with that on the third reading, the next meeting.
So what if they do vote it up?
The majority of council could do whatever they want. We have to live by what the majority of council says.
But this is a position that if Mr. Bodine took it, would have an ethics conflict.
I think Mr. Bodine has the ethics issue.
So it's not the jobs or the positions.
Right.
It's he personally.
Right. Okay. Yes, because Mr. Bodine owns the business that is paid by CanDo and also will have similar responsibilities within the city.
So why is this hard to get through? Shouldn't this just be an open and shut? There's an ethics issue there. You can't do this.
Well, it would be open and shut if we had that email that Mayor Collins has.
So hopefully we see that.
Yeah, hopefully we see it. And I don't think it's a big issue. It is if it's an ethics conflict, or if there's an issue there, we should deal with that and change it to where Collins can run his administration the way he sees fit, because he is the mayor, the people electing to be the mayor, and if he wants his administration to be set up a certain way, I don't have a problem with that. It has to make sense and be right.
So at this point, there was supposed to be a state of the city given on Monday, but Mayor Collins was under the weather, so that did not happen.
Mm-hmm. It would be tough for him to give a state of the city being like 20 days in.
Right. It's a difficult position to be in. But it's an odd position, but it would be for anybody at this point, so this is not laid on Mayor Collins. But at this point, I would think being the new mayor, you would want to say things look good for the city. You know, you'd want to say, this is hopeful, we're in a good place. But at this point, with everything that's happened in the last 20 days, can you really say that and make the public believe it at this point? Could anybody say that?
Well, and I did leave when the circus started. Who would want to follow that anyways?
That could have been the thing as well.
To your point, who was going to believe anything he's saying? Not that Collins is not believable, but what was just witnessed?
Well, and you know, he, just for the record, he said he had a cough.
Yeah,
and he didn't think he'd make
fine.
It through. And maybe it was.
And that's.
But it didn't come till the end of the meeting that was brought up. But that's no.
Right.
That was a long meeting.
And that's not. I don't think that's necessarily a requirement for any mayor to do. I think that was something Kellogg may have started, and Schertzer carried on that tradition, if you want to call it that. I know the governor and the president does a state of the state and state of the union thing, so he doesn't really have to do it if he doesn't want to do it.
So I guess the point is, though, at this point, would it be hard for him, when or if he does it, to say, hey, things are good here?
Yeah, and if I was the mayor, I wouldn't do a state of the city address 20-odd days into my term, because you're actually reflecting on what happened in a different administration. My first would be a year after.
How would you say what the state of the city is at this point?
We have excellent employees. Our trash is picked up every day on schedule. Our parks look beautiful. We're in a good position. We just have some really bad issues going on in the auditor's office.
So ultimately, getting past those, in your opinion, is to have a new auditor.
Right, and so now I believe it has to be a new auditor after what was revealed Monday. I don't see how and can continue on, and I don't want to say anything to where it sounds like I'm bullying somebody again, but at one point I thought there was a chance if she came up with a plan and she acted on this plan, but now it just has to be someone new to move forward. And that new person is going to have a rough road to go, but as long as they're a strong leader, they can open mail and that says you got a due date by this and not just shove it to the side, answer phone calls. I mean, there was several issues where there was 20 attempts to make contact and no return phone call. This is easy stuff to fix.
How long do you think it will take to get this moving smoothly again if a new auditor comes in?
I don't know a time frame, because there's 4 years of issues. And will it take another 4 years to get that cleaned up? I don't know. I've racked my brain come up with different ideas that we can implement. I've searched for someone that's retired or could do some kind of consulting job to help the city get in a better position. I'm coming up blank finding a person. But we need to continue to figure out a solution to right this ship.
Now, this other new position, the budget position that Mayor Collins wants to create, what does that person do?
From what I understand, they're going to manage the budget for what that's worth after it comes out of the auditor's office. And it's a person that council can go ask questions about the budget. That's what I understand it to be.
And they get paid a pretty good salary.
$80,000.
$80,000. More than the auditor.
Yeah, so that was the $80,000 was amended by me for the budget and management position to reflect the salary we thought the auditor's office was going to get. And since then, it had been vetoed. Because the thought was Collins would find somebody to do the Office of Budget Management and help the auditor's office, and at some point that person would become the auditor because the removal process was going to take place to get rid of Miranda.
How did it, because it certainly hasn't been only applied to you, it's been applied to Mr. Ratliff, it's been applied by several different people, it's been applied to Mayor Collins at this point. Where did this bully thing and city council and the auditor and the mayor, where did that all come from? How did that start? Where did the dysfunction begin?
I was thinking about this the other night, and so you got a Groundhog Day thing coming.
Yes.
Up. And the auditor's office is Groundhog Day, because if you look at Robert Landon's 2 years and you match up the 2 years with Miranda, the mistakes, the issues are almost on the same day. It's Groundhog Day all over. So I think it may be generational with the victimhood and the saying I'm being bullied, because no one wants to hear that someone's bullied. So then you start forgetting about the mistakes you made and just go on emotion instead of emotionless facts.
So how much of this, because at this point, it's my understanding, pretty well a good majority of council feels they've been bullied. The auditor feels she's been bullied by different people. How do you fix these problems so everybody can sail on and do the business of the city?
I don't know how to fix anyone if they think they've been bullied. If someone's been bullied by me, I mean, I'm not going to apologize because I don't bully people. I mean, if you don't like hearing the truth and you take that as being someone's bullying you, I don't know what to tell you. Grow up.
When it comes to the issues that we have spoken about this year, the issue with Mayor Collins offering Miranda a position to leave her position in the transit department, leave her position as auditor, which during the interview last week with Miranda, I had said a member of law enforcement had sent me the coercion violation, which is a law I would guess you wouldn't want to violate if you were an elected official here in Ohio. Some question of that. Question of sunshine laws, but apparently that's not a huge thing, just a bad look. Misappropriation of funds, that's certainly not a good thing, could be something law enforcement would need to be dealing with. When do we get the issues on, or the answers on all these things, and then go forward?
There was quite a bit there. So the Miranda coercion allegation with Collins. I have emails and on the record stuff of what I played a part in that. What we're not getting is honesty between those two people. You're not getting anything from Collins, which I can see his point, not wanting to talk, just wanting it to be done and over with and forgotten about, because it's just noise and it is a roadblock for getting moving the Marion forward, but there needs to be some honesty about what transpired. And listening to the interviews with Miranda, the two interviews you did, you can, if you listen to really what she's saying and compare them, you can really pick apart what she said, and it just doesn't hold up, at least from what I know and listening to her, what she, her words she used. So honesty would be the best for that, to clear up that situation. But I believe those two parties involved, Collins and Miranda, they believe it's over with and done with. So I feel the same way. It's whatever happened, happened. She said she's not going to press charges. I think she would be the one to do that. So she's not going to, or bring a lawsuit forward. So in my mind, it's done with. Let's move on.
And when it comes to the Sunshine Law, nothing really can be done there.
Sunshine Law, so anyone can report a Sunshine Law violation. I believe it's through the Yost office. Mark Russell could bring it up if he feels it's a big enough issue, which the majority of counsel, I believe, demonstrated that they have probably violated Sunshine Laws, probably not purposely. They just don't know the Sunshine Law well enough. They thought they was having an innocent conversation with their buddy. And it was over something that is really, it's city business, but it's just a committee that they potentially violated the Sunshine Law, which I believe they actually did. The one that troubles me the most, that I believe that they have violated the Sunshine Law and that will be meaningful to the city of Marion, is charter cities. Because in the past, the last term of council, we had a charter committee, an ad hoc committee, and we can create these special committees at any time by a vote of council. We've not done that yet, but on a list that Mr. Neff passed out on the 8th, and also the most recent council meeting we had, it has charter city special or an ad hoc committee meeting or committee, and it lists five people. How do you know that? How do you know these five people want to be on this? That's business that could come before council that's not, or that we haven't even voted on. And a charter is a fundamental change to Marion. So there needs to be consequences there for that violation of Sunshine Law if they ever bring that forward to have a vote on, because that was deliberation to garner votes for this. They went as far as picking five people. Five people is a majority of council. And then you're going to have a five-person committee. So I think that's the bigger deal, and I hope that the law director, Russell, picks that up.
And what could the consequences be there?
I'm not 100% sure what the consequences could be, but they couldn't move forward with the charter because of the way they set it up in a closed-door meeting.
You know, I think a citizen would have this question about the Bill Collins and Miranda situation, about the Sunshine Law situation and what's going on with council, is that if nothing is done, what's to stop it from happening again?
Exactly. And that's the trouble you have when you have an 8-1 majority. We need to do everything we can possible to eliminate any perception of off-the-record meetings. Everything has to be in open public meetings, and that's the only way we fix it.
Now, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but just because we have not heard from Bill in this whole matter with Miranda, if these positions were offered the way she said they were, should that have been known and done in the public? Is that a violation of a Sunshine Law?
No, because it wasn't business that council was dealing with.
So also another question that I think people have asked in regard to that, if it wasn't somebody who is up to her ears in problems herself, would this be looked into more? If it was somebody who was doing her job and there's no issues there and everything's hunky-dory and the same situation would have happened, would that be looked into more?
If she didn't have any issues, there would be no reason for her to resign, or her resignation would be asked for. So yeah, no, this wouldn't happen at all. So I don't know how. Maybe I'm misunderstanding the line you're drawing here. But if there's no issues, there's no reason for me to sit down with her on November 30th to say I don't think you have a future as the city auditor.
Well, let's say I just don't want you in this position. I want somebody else.
I don't
else.
Think anyone is. I know I'm not. I don't think anyone is personally against Miranda and personally wants her out of there. I want her to be successful, but she's dug herself in so many holes. She can't. I don't see an out for her. And the most recent thing Monday, that's a big deal.
Yeah, and it will be as time goes on, and we'll see how that all goes. But I think on the whole, what is confusing to a lot of people is this just a lack of how things are supposed to go, how you should do things? Is there a check and balance on anybody at this point?
Yes, there's the checks and balances are all through government. That's civics. We all need to go back to a civics class. The auditor has a check. The treasurer has a checks and balance. I mean, council is going to control the purse. So but when these checks are brought to the light, the problem we have is some people perceive those as a couple individuals on council that just wants to attack, berate, and block things. And it's unfortunate that they view things that way.
So with whatever is going to happen with the auditor, because this is a major issue, as you say, what kind of issues do you think this will create in the next few weeks? Will this be an easy time for Marion?
So all the services for Marion will still continue on. Marion will continue to be Marion, and this will not stop anything from happening. We'll still move forward. This is just a little, not a little bump, but a bump that we have to deal with, and we will resolve it one way or the other. Nothing's going to be easy with that office.
Is there any way at this point, if she resigned tomorrow, would this go away?
No. She's still responsible for whatever action she took in that office. Robert resigned, and we still went after his bond. And we're still going after his bond, even though things are abated. There's other mistakes, penalties that have came up. So, no, just by leaving doesn't make it go away. The auditor's office, by state statute, is designed so that that individual that is the auditor or fiscal officer has actual skin in the game. By that means personal responsibility.
So why is there then a perception by council members that this is not a check and a balance, that this is a bullying tactic?
I don't know why they think that. The only thing I can think of, it's always the same two guys. And those two guys are not particularly liked by some of those other individuals. I don't know why they think that.
I know at least two councilmen who were accused of violating these sunshine laws who do not like that being said about them, and I think claim to this moment that they did not do that.
Okay. So I'm not making the allegation. They admitted to sunshine laws violation in an open meeting. They're the ones that said it. And like I said, they probably didn't do it on purpose. They just didn't know. And so every council member, every elected official actually, has to go through Sunshine Law training. Yost sends out something in January or February. You can do online training, or you can designate someone else to do the training for you. And unfortunately, I believe all nine members of council has designated Trina Rose as the person to sit and do this online training. So Trina will get the training on their behalf, but I think it would be really good idea for the new council members to sit through that training. It's not very long. It's a video you watch, and or at least what I do, I designate Trina, and then I read the slides. You can read the presentation instead of watch it, and get an idea of what sunshine laws are and how a innocent one-on-one phone conversation can actually turn into a serial or a circuit meeting, and you can inadvertently put yourself in a position that you didn't try to do.
You know, when people look at Marion City, Marion County, I think one of the things that has happened over the past few years, there have been some county officials, clerk of courts, one I can think of off the top of my head. There have been city officials, the city auditor, two city auditors at this point, which I can think of, where in the beginning it was, you know, this is not a good job. Bad things are happening here. This isn't good. And then it just went on and on and on and on. And then eventually it gets to the point where this person's got to go. And then in a lot of cases, it got to a point where litigation had to happen mm-hmm. with these people. Why is there always that period of we've identified a problem. We know there's a problem. This is not good. But it'll go on for a little while longer, and eventually we'll do something about it.
Specifically to the clerk of courts, that was a well-known secret that that office was a mess. And the only thing I can say was the party and of the clerk of courts and the party, the political party of the commissioners that could do something were the same. And unfortunately, they don't go after themselves. Even though it was right, the clerk of courts should have been removed a long time ago. It shouldn't have went on that long. And by carrying on that long, that ended up, I believe she got criminal charges against her. That's really what led to her actually leaving, was the criminal charges.
I think Miranda had said, being an independent, that there were really no other candidates to fill the position when Robert Landon left, because you would think a Republican would be appointed to that position, mm-hmm. Because it was the Republican's choice at that point. Mm-hmm. Why does nobody seemingly want this job? Two people ran for it back 4 years ago.
Right. Because I have no idea. I know I don't want it, but I'm not going to say it's easy, but I have no idea why people don't want it. There's a lot of seats that go unopposed or not even filled with candidates. It's just the times we're in right now, I guess.
What is the public entitled to know about what goes on at City Hall?
They're entitled to know everything.
Should they be the ones asking the questions? Should they show up to city council meetings?
We do have people come up and ask directly to the auditor or Collins or council, why are you doing this and what are you going to do to fix it?
Yeah. So if they wanted to know answers, because that's where I hear a lot of these things after we do an interview, I hear people say, well, why this, why that, why this? And the one that has been until last Monday was the whole issue with Collins. What went on there? What was the deal? Will we ever get an answer on that?
I don't know. Like I said, I showed my involvement, and I have proof of the meeting I called, and it just comes down to those two being honest about what happened. I heard Miranda's side. I don't really think that's actually how things went, but that's my view of it. And I guess those individuals that are asking those questions won't get closure until there's honesty from those two individuals. But to me, I would hope that since those two individuals are okay with whatever happened, that we leave it at that.
Do you think that if whatever happens with the auditor happens, that everything will be so okay at this point? I think her being in this position at this point, my impression was last Friday when she was in here, I'm in this position. He came down and apologized. Okay. And right now that's okay. As things go on now, we learn about this misappropriation and whatever happens with that. Maybe that'll change.
So if Collins apologized to Moran about for whatever happened with the resignation and the job offer, okay, fine. To me, that's closure. That they're fine with it. The new issue that was laid out Monday night, that's, to me, that's two separate things.
When we look at Monday night, another issue that was brought up is a county issue. And apparently, from what I've been able to see through a Freedom of Information request, we got the letter that was sent from Ray Grogan's office to the city schools. And to boil this down, basically, the city schools in December entered into a new lease agreement through 2027 with the county for the big building out that used to be the Treca building, used to be the GTE building on Delaware Avenue. They share the building. And then in January, a new school board came in, and they decided they wanted to terminate this lease and leave in June, I believe is the date they say they want to leave. And the county says, no, you've said you're going to be here through 2027. Just because you have a new board doesn't mean you can rescind this release, our lease. And if you don't answer us by February the 1st, there's going to be some litigation there.
It's unfortunate that a bad decision on the commissioner's part by purchasing that building is leading to another bad decision to sue the city schools.
Is that a good look to sue the city schools?
No. Wouldn't one think that their best efforts would be spent going after the back property taxes? That's how the county and the schools are funded. And again, it was a bad decision to purchase that building, but you have the building. Why? I don't understand why they and what damages have they realized? Because the way I understand the situation is the city schools were at the end of their five-year lease, or whatever, I believe it was a five-year lease, and the commissioners renegotiated, and with the original five-year lease, there was another five-year extension that the city schools could enter in, which is fine. But the city schools didn't enter into that five-year extension. It was a renegotiated three-year extension. So right there, you just opened up new negotiations. So I believe in the original lease, you have to give a 180-day notice if you're going to not if you're going to vacate. I believe it's June or July when they're leaving, and the city schools did that. But I believe they may have been 2 weeks late, so there may be 2 weeks worth of income that the county won't realize. Okay, the city schools, I'm sure, would be more than happy to pay those 2 weeks of damages that this county thinks they realized and move on.
But now it's become a bigger thing.
Yes, and it's unfortunate. And again, it goes back to a bad decision purchasing a building that, what was the purchase price, $4 million, something like that, to house the sheriff's office? I mean, why? But you have that building. You have to live with that decision. You don't go suing another government entity, especially when you have so much, $8-10 million in back taxes that you could be prosecuting those people to collect those taxes.
I mean, in theory here, I don't know what the numbers are, but if the city schools they do not stay in June, can the sheriff's office afford to be there at this point?
That's my, I don't know. But that's not the city school's fault that you don't go suing them because you want to keep them as a tenant. You made a mistake by opening the contract up and renegotiating a shorter extension. So I don't, I'm not a lawyer, but that's a pretty easy case right there to say, no, your damages are only about 2 weeks.
So in that particular situation, do you think the county is going to act? February 1st is coming next week.
I would hope they don't, but they probably will.
You know, has politics changed in the last 15 years? Didn't seem like there was this type of stuff going on. You know, it's been called noise and all of this sort of thing. And maybe it is. I mean, you're right. The trash still gets picked up and the water still runs and life still goes on and people go to work and that's that. But there's a lot of very oddball things going on and threats and deals and book laws that just people were not being threatened with on a daily basis years ago.
Yeah, and I don't know why that is, but the commissioner suing the city schools is kind of par for the course with how they operate, because there's twice now that the commissioners tried to sell the transfer station that the city uses quite a bit, and the city offered to buy that and put in, actually submitted offers, because the county was taking bids for it, and they rejected them both. So I don't know what's going on at the county.
Now, at this point, is there does for somebody who's been on council for a long time, it's been Democrat, it's been Republican, there have been different members. Does council have to get along for things to get done?
I don't have to personally like anyone to be able to work with them.
But does there have to be a point where it has to run smoothly?
Yes. The meetings need to so if we go back to Monday's meeting that was 3 hours long, I think we probably could have cut some of that time down because there was a lot of long periods of dead air. But we do have, I believe, 5 new council members, and we have a brand new council president. So these things will get better as they gain confidence, and Mary, I do have confidence in her that she will start gaining control of these meetings and moving them forward. So in that aspect, things will go smoother. As far as the bickering and the banter between council members and that, I go into every council meeting and I leave every council meeting not taking anything personal. Whatever happens in there and whatever said, it's not going to affect me outside those chamber doors. So if that's what's creating things to be to not go so smooth, then those individuals need to take the same mindset as it's not personal. This is city business that we need to get done.
Do you feel comfortable at this point with, and it's only a month in, with the administration, the new administration?
Yeah, I do. Yeah.
What do you think was the major misstep there that caused a lot of these things to happen in council where I think Ayers Monday said you don't know how to legislate to the mayor?
You don't know how to legislate. I believe that was directed to council members.
Council members.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
There was something involving the mayor on Monday with Ayers. There was a little about how to handle something. There was something to continue. But regardless,
I don't. If it happened after I left, I don't know.
They've just been these little dust ups that have happened along the way.
Right there is the main reason why I left. Nothing good was going to come out of it. Right. There was no business done. It was just ugly.
Yeah. In these points, I guess, is what I think it happened during the Chaffin conversation. You don't know how things run, maybe was the comment or something to that effect. I'd have to listen to it again.
Yeah, I do remember some comment, but Ayers responded to, I believe, to a comment that I feel was out of line, and maybe the "you don't know how things run" comment means you really don't know what was actually done, and what Kathy did do. And it was unfortunate that Collins made that comment when Kathy wasn't present to defend herself.
Now, do you feel that, because whoever would have become mayor in the last election, they were coming in really with no legislative experience. Mm-hmm. Do you think things are being learned there, and can you see things getting better internally?
Yes. Collins has surrounded himself with good people. He has Tom Robbins back as he's the safety director. I like Tom a lot. He was with mayor, I don't know how long, for a long time. So Tom really knows the inner workings of how City Hall works, how things need to go through council. Now, as far as council members, if there's I want to say this without sounding like a bully or picking on somebody. If the new council members don't stay as individuals, and they stay within their majority group and their groupthink, council will never run smoothly.
You know, at this point, this is one of the big questions as well. One Democrat left on council. I do think people feel that you vote not party line, that you vote what you think is best for the city. And I think Mr. Pollack has not voted with the Republicans every time a vote has come down.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So these, but it does seem like there is a group that seems to vote.
And I think it's very important that we have 9 individuals and not the group with one person dictating, this is what we're going to do, this is how you vote. And if I continue to see that, I will buck at that every chance I can get. Because that doesn't do the city any good.
But how do we fix that? You know, like you had said in the beginning, Mr. Knepp's been there a while, and you feel that usually he's not been involved in things.
Mm-hmm.
But now he was involved in this, but didn't put the committees together, which is what led to what happened on January the 8th, mm-hmm. which essentially is what led to the falling out last week, the little moment that happened with the committee meetings. So how do people like that and whoever else might be involved in it, how does that change?
I don't know. Those individuals have to seek their own change. Now, Ms. Lang, she is a new council member, and she has put in a lot of time because she wanted to be on finance committee. She's on finance committee. I've had a 3-hour-long conversation with her on the phone about different things that I experienced and what I knew, because I knew I wasn't going to be on finance, trying to help her out. And she's putting in a lot of effort and a lot of work that you don't really see, especially with a new council member, but long-term council members, they don't put in as much time as she has. So there is some hope that these new council members become individuals, but I fear that there's sometimes when they're not confident in their own thoughts, it's just easier to go with the group.
So next council meeting, would you think this would be a smoother meeting coming off everything that has happened? Or do you think because of the things that have happened, it's going to be another meeting like it has been in the last month?
So if you're asking me, will I go into the next council meeting and try to get my jabs in because I didn't get them all in the last meeting? No, that's not going to happen.
Well, not just to you at this point. Mr. Ratliff certainly has his strong opinions that seem to make some people unhappy when things are said. There are council members who are unhappy with being called breakers of the Sunshine Law at this point. There's clearly something going on with the auditor that will come to fruition at some point soon, I would expect. Can things run smooth through those issues and just all is forgotten, all is well, let's go?
Yeah, and so people's feelings are hurt because they're accused, there are accusations made of breaking a Sunshine Law. I've spoke with, if not all, at least 3 of the new council members and told them what the Sunshine Laws were and that I know how the party operates, and to not do that. So there's a responsibility on themselves to educate what these sunshine laws are, and if a long-serving council member is telling you what they are, and you still break them, and it hurts your feelings because someone's accusing you of it, ignorance of the law doesn't get you out of what you did.
Just to finalize this, because there was something interesting that I wanted to bring up, because the accusation has been made of these council members who are voting to change things, these committee assignments, that it's the party. The party, I know how the party runs, the party doesn't like this, the party didn't like the way things went. And on Monday, if you do go back, one thing I picked up on just sitting in the audience during this conversation, whenever somebody spoke from that side, it was we and our. It was never I.
Yeah, and that goes back to the point I probably didn't make very well earlier in your show, was they outed themselves for who they are.
So who are they?
And every time I've been on your show, you've asked questions about why are you on the outs with the party, and my answer, I've probably given different answers, but it's always been the same point. And they're demonstrating what I've said.
What do they do? What happens? Does somebody from the party come to them? Do they get together? Is there vendettas there? What is the thing?
All the above.
All the above. So the inner workings of the Republican Party basically are, if you're not with us, you're against us.
Exactly.
And we are going to make things rough on you.
Yep.
And we do this as a group.
Exactly. And I can give firsthand information, firsthand experience. 6 years ago, the Republicans took control after a 20-year Democratic stronghold. I mean, it was a stronghold. We got 5-4 majority, weak majority. But right after the election, we had five, and Mike Thomas's joke was he could count to five. We even had a cake made with Mike Thomas's name, said, look, we can count to five now, something to that effect. And then we started having meetings. Now I'm telling myself for sunshine law violations. We had meetings. We had the first year planned out of what we was going to do, what legislation we was going to bring forward. And that's not changed. That's still done every time. And I tried to tell these new council members, don't do that. And they've all learned, they've all repeated the same line. Well, we had these discussions prior to the election. After elections, we didn't have that. Well, you still had the discussions, and you made plans. Unless you changed the plans, you violated sunshine laws.
Well, and people can attend the city council meetings. I think there has been some up attendance in recent weeks. That's a good thing, hopefully. People are attending. People are paying attention. People are asking questions. Has there been any movement in the transit department? Anything changed there at this point?
It's been radio silence. I haven't heard anything. And like I said, I've been trying to get information out of the auditor's office. I'm not getting the information I need to speak on it intelligently, because the question is, how long will the grant that funds the transit department last? Was there truly a mistake? What's going on? I don't have those answers, and it's unfortunate that those employees feel uneasy about it. I will apologize for that, but I think we need answers.
And hopefully we get them as time goes on. Next council meeting is Monday?
Yes.
Monday, this coming Monday, 6:30.
Is it this?
I don't know.
Are there five Mondays in the month?
January, five Mondays. Let's take a look here. What did we start the month on?
If it's a fifth Monday, no. Council meetings are the second and fourth Mondays of the month.
Let's see. There are five Mondays.
So, yeah, there will not be any.
Back on the 5th.
February? February 5th. That will be a council. That would be committee meeting night.
Okay.
So then it will be the 3rd to 12th.
Okay, so 12th. So nothing this Monday, nothing on the 5th.
Unless they want to come to committees, because that's where the business is actually done.
So they can come to committee meetings
on
the 5th.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. We actually encourage them to come on committee nights, because that's where we're discussing what's going to be put on full council.
So that's the rundown the next few weeks, and I guess at this point we'll see what happens with the auditor, mm-hmm. and where everything else goes, it goes. Jason, I thank you for coming in. It's always interesting. I think people like getting updates on what's going on in the city, because council does kind of, you know, even though they are 3-hour meetings, it seems silly to say this, but it moves fast in regard to the, you know, what's happening when you're watching it.
Right.
So you don't really get the inside of what is really going on there. So I think that becomes a thing. So thanks for coming in, as always. Voice of the People with Linda Sims coming up next.
Black, age 69, of Marion, passed away on January 20th. She is survived by her mother, husband, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and sister. A celebration of life will occur at a later date. You may leave an online condolence at cremationservicesofohio.com. For Deborah Ann Bollack of Marion, Carlton D. Luke, age 88, of Marion, passed away on January 19th. He is survived by his wife, daughters, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, siblings, nieces, and nephews. Friends and family may come to honor his life from